Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
2-2, bottom nine. Chapman is ready at the letters. He throws. Swinging a shot into left field, and the White Sox are going to win the game. Rounding third is Robert. He will score. Andrew Vaughn has won the series for the White Sox. The final today is 3-2. The Red Sox nightmare on the south side of Chicago continues.
It's time for Sunday Mass with Christian Arcan on WEEI.
Good morning. Welcome in. It's Sunday Mass. Reverend Arcan here with you going until about 1:15. We'll hand it off to Red Sox pregame reluctantly the way this team's going. Oh, my goodness. Will Fleming was not exaggerating right there. That was not an exaggeration. They have been in the south side of Chicago for 2 games, and it has been 2 nightmarish games for your Boston Red Sox. Just an absolute abomination of a baseball team that you are now in the hole. You've already lost the series and are on the verge of getting swept by the Chicago White Sox. Have you looked at the White Sox roster? Like when the lineup comes out and you're looking at this roster, do you grasp exactly what's going on here? Do you see these starting? That was Martin Perez last night. Martin Perez, who was on the Red Sox 5 years ago, and he was old and broke down then. The Red Sox cannot make contact. They cannot buy a productive out, let alone a home run, which they haven't hit one since Sunday. This is early to be saying this, okay? And I let it slide during the Toronto series, because they were coming off of that St. Louis series where they were tearing the cover off the ball. I thought they had started to play a little bit more relaxed. It looked like they were getting into their hitting their stride a little bit. That is gone. That is gone. They are very tight. They're tight at the plate. They're tight on the mound. They're tight coming out of the bullpen. Chapman with another leadoff walk. I don't know exactly how it came to this. I don't know how you went from last weekend with the Cardinals to this now with the White Sox. But this is troublesome. This is borderline panic button stuff here. I understand there are 146 games left to go in the season, okay? I'm very well aware of that. It's a long season. No one knows that more than I do. But this is the type of start that sinks a team, or has the potential to sink a team. You're not out there. The Braves are off to a bad start, right? The Braves, I think, have one of the worst records in baseball to start the year. Let me double check on that just to make sure I'm not completely talking out of my backside here. I know they're off to a bad start. Maybe I'm exaggerating just how bad. But they've also played the Phillies. They've played the Dodgers. They've played, you know, much better teams. The Braves were 4-10 to start the year. That's one game better than the Rockies and half a game better than, or half a game worse than the White Sox. And the Red Sox aren't off to that bad of a start. They're not a bottom team, okay? They're 7-9 to start the year. But 2 losses to the worst team in baseball history, you think that's just going to fly under the radar like, oh, no big deal? No. You start losing to teams like that, even early on in the year when you're trying to figure out who you are and what you are and who's best in what spot in the lineup or whatever other little thing that Alex Cora still may be working on. And we got a lot of Alex Cora topics to touch on tonight, or today, I should say. I'm so upset, I don't even know what time of day it is. But Alex Cora's got to wear some of this. He's got to wear some of it. This is a team that doesn't seem like they're ready. This is a team that the ownership group invested in for the first time in a while. Craig Breslow pulled off some pretty good moves. And now here we have Garrett Crochet about to pitch again today in the second straight start where they needed a win, where they needed him to be a stopper. What is this? I don't think that anyone was expecting Garrett Crochet to have two stopper in his first four starts, to have to be the stopper twice with these losing streaks that they're on. This is really, in some ways, worse than last year. Last year they got off, they were 7-3 to start the year. I don't think there was a whole lot of excitement for the team like there is this year, and that's what makes this worse. This time you don't really have the front office and the ownership to hang it on. Well, they didn't help us out. Yeah, they did. They didn't invest in the team. Yes, they did. And some of the guys they invested in, listen, you know, Bregman had that one good weekend. What's he really been for you other than that? Christian Campbell continues to be an adventure at second base. Cass is out of the lineup last night. Couldn't even get a pinch hitting roll late in the game with Narvaez up. By the way, another thing with the Red Sox, they're getting base runners. Guys are getting on base. They cannot drive these base runners in to save their life. I think they had a base runner in every inning except the ninth inning yesterday. Think about that. Against the White Sox, you'd think they won 25-0. They had a base runner in every inning. Oh, they must have won big, right? No. Nope. One inning, two runs, that's it. And the White Sox, just a little bit better. A little bit craftier. A little bit better, more efficient with their at-bats. Do you know how many pitches the Red Sox saw in the ninth inning yesterday? In a game where they could barely squeeze out two runs despite several base runners. They left nine runners on base. 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position. You know how many pitches, total pitches, they saw in the ninth inning? Five. Five pitches. One for Rafaela. Two for Devers. And I forget who hit him between them. Oh, Romy Gonzalez. You know? Which, listen, I mean, I know there was a lefty on the mound, and I understand that they're trying to find out the matchups here, and I don't even think it should have made much of a difference. Romy Gonzalez leading off, hitting cleanup wherever he is. You should still beat the White Sox. Okay? You should still beat them. With Jordan Leisure, who I'm not familiar with, Leisure Suit Larry on the mound, you get Rafaela on one pitch. Gonzalez comes up, takes a ball up and away. Next pitch, slider. Boom. Grounds out. They take out Leisure Suit Larry, and they bring in Gilbert. He pitches to Devers. First pitch, knuckle curve, way down and away. Second one, another knuckle curve in the zone, lines right out. No patience, nothing. I don't know what you do about this. I don't know if this is a team-wide thing. I don't know if this is a hitting coach thing. I don't know if this is an Alex Cora thing. I don't know if it's a player thing. I've been watching this documentary, and I want to put this out here, and I want to say this so no one misunderstands me. What I'm about to say has nothing to do with Jarren Duran and that very personal story that he shared, okay? But if you watch this thing, you see that these guys are pretty neurotic, all right? And not like the way that Duran, well, I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Cassis and all the other guys who you see going through slumps and beating themselves up over it, all right? There's a lot of guys who just get a little twisted up when they're not making contact. And I can't help but think that you're seeing some of that manifest itself here right now. And it's very surprising. After a weekend like last weekend with St. Louis, it's very surprising to see them come out here and go back into a shell like this. This offense shouldn't be this bad. I mean, this should be a top offense in the league. And that's not me saying that. That's everyone saying that. Preseason, that's what everybody was saying. People were calling this team World Series favorites. They are the darling offseason. They were the team, the sexy team of the offseason. And now here they are about to get swept by the White Sox. And I'm not, wouldn't be surprised if they actually did. Garrett Crochet has been good, and I could see him going out there and having a good start, but you can't win 0-0. I'm not convinced that even with, look at Richard Fitz. Fitz has been great this year. They can't get a win for him. They can't score runs. And I don't think that that's emblematic. Like right now, Fitz is your number two starter, statistically. It goes Crochet, he's the number one. He's been the best. Fitz has been number two. Bueller and Haug now just suddenly, recently this week, started pitching better. And Newcomb, I don't know about Newcomb. I don't know what you got with Newcomb there. But I can tell you what you got with Richard Fitz. You got a guy who is, I think, proving his mettle at the major league level, by much more so than I was expecting. You know, with Priester and Newcomb and some of these other guys all competing for that those last starter spots, I thought Fitz might get nudged out. And instead, he's showing that he belongs. And this team can't score runs for him. They never win when he pitches, going back to last year. It's ridiculous. And to see them struggling like that against Martin Perez, a soft-tossing lefty junk baller who's in his mid-30s now. I felt like he was in his mid-30s 5 years ago, but I guess he's only 34. Either way, a guy who's just hanging around, bopping around from team to team, journeyman, winds up on the White Sox to fill out the rotation. And he goes out there, and he's got you guys, he's got the Red Sox on skates. Another 11 strikeouts. That's Martin Perez over there. I'm panicking. I'm sorry. I know it's 16 games in. I don't care. It's 10% of the season that is gone. I'm panicking here. Because even when you're figuring things out, even when you're not sure exactly what the identity of the team's going to be and who's going to hit where and what the young players are capable of and who's got what left in the tank and if Devers' shoulder is still banged out, whatever it is that you're worried about, no matter what, you should still beat the White Sox. Everyone else does. Even last year, they weren't that great against the White. I looked it up. They were only 4-3 against the White Sox last year. The White Sox, they were the worst team in the league, and the Red Sox barely had a winning record against them. Maybe it's just something special with the White Sox. I don't know, but you know, they didn't look great against Toronto either. The errors, a huge problem. They didn't have any yesterday. Campbell could have had one. Campbell could have been charged an error. He was lucky that they didn't. I don't know what you call the opposite of a hometown scorekeeper, but that's what he got there. Either way, you can tell it's a problem. The strikeouts. What is happening with this team? Who is in charge of their approach at the plate? That ninth inning was a disgrace. Five pitches? Are you serious? How did it get to this? And how come when there's runners in scoring position, they can't even give you a productive out? I'm begging for productive out. That's what it's come to. I'm sitting on my couch begging for a productive out. Not strikeout, pop up, whatever, foul tip out in the glove. Like it's just, you know, I mean, they just can't do it. And I don't know exactly what to make of this. Listen, the baseball players in general are kind of neurotic people, so I don't think it's something with this team that's special and that you don't see on any other team. But they are tight out there. And it's too early in the season for that. Especially after you had your big breakout weekend. How do you go from that to this? I'm as confused as anybody. I really expected that this team was going to come out and look much better than last year. I think everyone did. You have a new ace. You have the top right-handed power bat on the market after Soto got signed. But, you know, the one after that, you got the number one guy. You got Bregman. You have the ability, or I guess Soto's a lefty, never mind. But you got the power bat that everyone wanted. But no one actually signed until right before spring training started. Either way, you spent a lot of money and you got the guy you wanted. It's the guy I wanted. I wanted Bregman. I think everybody did. Just wondering what was taking so long. Chapman, I wasn't as in love with that move, but I figured, hey, you know, there's a guy that absolutely can help you in the bullpen. Didn't think they had to trade Boozer, but fine, whatever. So here's Chapman. And he blew it last night. Leadoff walk. He's got a bunch of walks already. 6 innings, 4 walks. That was a part of the scouting report of him coming in. And he's looked good in some of his appearances. It's not been all bad. But what can you say about this team, their approach at the plate, their inability to even move guys over? And I don't want to take a bunch of calls about bunts, okay? I mean, listen, at this point, I'll try anything. This point with the offense, fine, go out there and bunt. But I'm talking like last resort. We're at last resort status here with this offense right now. How many times in the first 20 games can you have a must-win game and still be considered a competitive team? Eventually, you're going to have to start stringing some of these together. Eventually, you're going to have to start doing damage against a team other than the Cardinals. It's not a grim outlook yet, but if you don't think that the attention of John Henry and everybody is you don't think their antennas are up right now after two straight losses to the White Sox, then you're not paying attention. And if you're sort of blowing this off like just another early season thing, nothing really to worry about, it's the White Sox, guys. This is the Chicago White Sox. I wasn't going to freak out like this again with the Toronto Blue Jays, and they weren't good last year. The first three games of that series, I mean, listen, they were ugly, but I wasn't about to lose my mind. The White Sox, I'll lose my mind for the White Sox. Okay? I mean, this is unacceptable. And they know it. Alex Cora knows it. He had a lot to say after the game. We'll play some of that for you in just a minute. You watch the team on a nightly basis, and they have games every night. You know, I mean, they've been churning them out here. Don't have a day off until Thursday. You got to finish this series, then you got Tampa. And then you finally get a day off on Thursday. They look like they're dying for a day off. They look like they need to stop and collect themselves. I don't know how it gets to this against a team like the White Sox. A team that should just inspire confidence when you walk in there. They're wound up, man. I don't know. It was that Toronto series did something to them. It was at the point last night in the ninth inning where I was praying for, like, wild pitches. Come on, wild pitch. That's the only way they score runs anymore. How about a wild pitch in the ninth? How about a batter gets beaned? You know? That's how they're winning these games.
Like
that's
a swinging bunt.
Right, yeah. Something like that. An error on the other team. You know, pop-up that they lose in the light. Something, anything. I mean, we're not going to get a hit, and we're probably not going to get a sack fly. We can barely move a runner over. I'm praying for anything. And it's the White Sox, so it's not exactly like out of this world. Wow, a crazy thought that they might give the game away. You can't even get the White Sox to give a game away to you. And that thing on Friday, that was disgusting. I didn't even talk about that game. You 11-1 you lose to that team? Are you serious? This is kind of a nightmare. This is kind of a nightmare start. It does not define the team for the whole season, okay? I'm still sticking to that. But as far as starts go, you can hang around 500. You can't hang around 500, go under 500 with two losses to the Chicago White Sox. You just can't. You can't do that and expect to have any of that good feeling and momentum from the spring carry over or from last weekend with St. Louis. You cannot. It's dead. It's over with. Now you got to start from scratch, literally and figuratively, and you're not even from scratch. You're two games in the hole. You want to come out of that Blue Jays series saying, all right, you know, figured some things out here. We're back to 500. Let's go out there and then really show them what he got against the White Sox, and you lose the first two. I'll be honest with you. They keep playing like this. I don't know when they're going to get back to 500. Maybe a while. Maybe a couple weeks. I hope not. I don't want to wait that long. But you start losing to a team like the White Sox, then Tampa Bay, they're going to be licking their chops down there at a George Steinbrenner Stadium. And the 3,000 people that show up to those games. No pressure on them. Meanwhile, the Red Sox coming off maybe a sweep, definitely a lost series to the White Sox. You think they're going to go down there and start hitting the ball? No. This type of thing, it gets worse. And I'm worried. I'm worried. I'm officially worried. Will Fleming, I do the pregame show. Will keeps telling me nothing to worry about. Sorry, Will, I'm worried. I don't know how you can't be. These are the White Sox. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll take phone calls on the Red Sox all throughout this first hour. I do want to get into a little bit of Celtics in the second hour and, of course, have some thoughts on the BU Terriers and their tough end of the season there in the Frozen Four, which we'll all get to later on in the show. By the way, big thanks to both Bridget and Scott for their wonderful introduction, and I'm going to miss Sunday Skate. It's my favorite show, so I'm going to miss them. It was their last show today. Did you notice how when they were introducing me, Razor didn't say a word? I don't know. Maybe someone shut his mic off. Could have been that. I'm not sure. But I thought the intro today was much, much better. It took them all season to finally, you know, not act like the next show coming up was the worst thing they've ever heard. But they finally did, and I appreciate that. Anyway, 617-779-790. Razor, not quite on board with that yet. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Here's David Azer. He's going to get you caught up on what's trending, and we'll get to your phone calls right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Now, broadcasting from the pulpit of sports radio in Boston, it's Sunday Mass with Christian Arcan on WEEI.
Sunday Mass here, Reverend Arcan. 617-779-7937 is the phone number if you'd like to chime in. It was Alex Cora after the game. I'm not going to talk about the hot seat with him yet, but 10 more games, 500, then you might be. You might be doing that. People might be doing that. I might be doing that. I don't think it's realistic that this early into a big contract extension that that's going to be taken seriously, but I do think that you're starting to see a bit of a pattern here, and when you get the investment that you've been craving so much into the team, you get the ace that you wanted so badly, you get that right-hand stick, you get everything you wanted. They got everything they wanted. They got everything I wanted. Maybe it was specifically Aroldis Chapman who I wanted, but they got everything that was on the shopping list this offseason. And they go out and they drop two to the White Sox, who now have four wins, two of them against you. I mean, that's bad. That's embarrassing. And I don't know how well this team does when they're going through an embarrassing stretch. I don't know how much I trust them to pull themselves out of it. I just don't. You know, there's a lot of guys who are kind of high strung on this team. There's guys who I expect to pull out of it and be able to play to their normal standards. There's some guys I'm not sure about. I'm not sure about Alex Bregman. I'm not sure about Tristan Casas. I'm not sure about Rafaela. I'm not sure about Christian Campbell. I know it was a great start. We were all excited for that start he got off to. I'm definitely not sure about him in the field. And I mean, you know, we're all sort of watching these same games, aren't we? I'm not sure about Trevor Story. And that's not to say that any of them or all of them are going to have a bad year, but I'm not sure. And I came into this season, we all came into the season, maybe not being sure about each individual guy, but having some sort of level of certainty that things were going to get better. Things would improve. That the tools had been given to them to start winning at a higher level and competing for the AL East. And not losing to the White Sox, like ever. Let alone maybe getting swept today. I was right, by the way. They had base runners almost every inning. Top of the first, Romy Gonzalez, leadoff walk. Bregman, double play, two batters later. Second inning, infield single for Story. Campbell strikes out, Abreu pops out. Third inning, Romy Gonzalez walks again, Devers strikes out. Fourth inning, Story, single, Campbell, walk, Abreu with runners on first and second, strikes out. They finally scored in the fifth, so I'll leave that one out of it. They finally traced Sandy Perez there, Martin Koufax, with a couple of runs. Rafaela had the triple. Romy Gonzalez singled him home. Gonzalez is the only one who was doing anything at the plate. Devers grounds into a double play. I'm not going to rip on him because he's been so good lately, but not a great game for him yesterday. Sixth inning, Abreu walks, steals second. Narvaez strikes out. Seventh inning, Sedan Rafaela singles. Devers walks. Bregman fouls out. Ref Snyder strikes out. Eighth inning, Abreu single. Narvaez can't get him home. Ninth inning, five pitches. I mean, you know, they're getting on base. They are getting base runners, and they're getting stranded. They're getting stranded every inning. Against the White Sox. I know I keep doing this, and it's a little cheap, but my God, it's the White Sox. And I don't know what Alex Cora is doing about it. I don't know what Alex Cora can do about it. But I also know that the longer this goes on, the more people are going to start turning their focus to him. It's going to be uncomfortable. And while I don't think Alex Cora is a bad manager, I think he's a good manager. I do wonder what seems to be getting lost in translation here, because this is rough. This is a rough start to the year for a team that had what I thought was a lot of positive momentum coming out of the spring and a lot to be excited about. And a lot of reasons to feel like this could be their year. And instead, they are gripping that bat like you wouldn't believe. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We've got a lot of people waiting to talk about the Red Sox. So let's go ahead and start with our good friend, David, in Florida. Hi, David.
Hi, David. Arcan.
Yes.
What do you think makes Cora a good manager?
I think that he has a good control of the clubhouse. I think that the players like him. I think that he has a good rapport with them, and I think generally his in-game decisions are pretty good. I don't think he's 100% with that, but I think it's more good than bad.
I just so disagree. I mean, if the players like playing for him, they sure as hell aren't showing that they like playing for him. That's I think true. He's too easy on the players. I think he's too docile. I think he's too easy. I think he just rolls out the ball and doesn't do anything. I mean, I called you earlier in the week, and they should be putting more pressure on the guy in the pitcher by running more. The best thing they've been doing so far is stealing bases, and they should be doing more of it. I think he's got the lineup all misconfigured. He just doesn't do anything. He's like, how do you have any confidence they're going to win today? I mean, Crochet will probably go 8 innings and they'll probably lose 1-0 again or 2-1. I mean, I've never liked Cora. I've never liked him. Everybody says they like playing for him, the players. Well, they're not showing they like playing for him. And he doesn't do anything to jumpstart the team. He doesn't do anything motivationally to get the team on target. I just don't like him. And I called you about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, when they were still in spring training. And I said, what if they get off to a bad start? Mm. And lo and behold, they're off to a relatively bad start.
Yeah, David, you're right. Thanks for the call. Thanks for checking in. I don't share the same sort of – I never liked Corey. I didn't like him in 2018. Come on, we all liked him in 2018. But I do think that there have been, and certainly in the last couple of years here, enough last-place finishes that you can raise these questions. And these were questions that came up before he signed the extension. And when he signed the extension, the Red Sox were playing very well. And then the second half of the season, like normal, in August and September, they fall off the map and they miss the playoffs. And what do you know? I mean, it's another round of that. And that was after the extension got signed. So, listen, Alex Cora is going to have to figure out what's wrong here. And I trust that he can do it. I don't think that it's going to be a season-long problem. But I do think that even if he is able to pull this team up out of the dredges of losing to Chicago, maybe getting swept in Chicago by the White Sox, I'm still going to be looking at August and September the way I have the last few years. I was hoping that by then they'd have built up some kind of big lead, right? They're right there with the Yankees, neck and neck. No one can really touch them. So even if they do fall off a little bit in August and September, no big deal. This is the way we were talking about them. This is the way that many people, were talking about the Red Sox. Not just me. Well, even if they do fall off in August and September, hopefully they'll be so far ahead that that won't even matter. And, you know, they'll still be a wild card team. Oh, yeah, you think so? Let's worry about getting up over 500 and staying there for a bit. Because that was supposed to happen here. You come out of that Toronto series 500, 14 games in, sort of this whirlwind of some high highs and some very low lows. This team only wins when they score like 10 runs or more. Other than that, they can't really do much. 617-779-7937. Harry's in the car. Go ahead, Harry.
You're so funny, Christian. Because they're terrible. This White Sox team is like Park League. Do they still have Park League in Boston? I used to go the Red Sox in the day, and maybe at night I go to the Park League. And this Chicago White Sox, they Martin Perez, that guy, he hardly pitched for the Sox. He's still around in 2000. He was, like you said, he was Sandy Perez. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
brutal.
Funny. They're terrible. You hit the nail on the head. Come on. They get the rest of the month. We'll see you.
We'll see, Harry. Thanks for the call. Harry's subject line said the Sox will bounce back, but it's not what he sounded to me.
I guess not. Yeah.
Guess not. I guess I talked him out of it while he was on hold. Sorry, Harry. Listen, I'm just telling you what I think. And I'm not of the belief that the Red Sox can't bounce back from this, okay? Of course they can. There's 148 more games to go here. They played 16 games. But I wasn't expecting this through 16 games. I really wasn't. I could live with them hovering around 500 while they figure things out. I can't accept this with the White Sox. I just can't. I don't know. I mean, the errors, the strikeouts, they lead the league in errors and strikeouts. On some level, that has to be a reflection of the manager and the coaching staff, does it not? And all these people who are telling Jim Rice to bleep off, and hey, you know, we'll teach him how to hit line drives. Oh, yeah, will you? Could you do it then? Can you teach one of these major league hitters how to move a runner over and not strike out or pop foul into the catcher's mitt or whatever? Can we get started on that, please, hitting coaches, Fatsy and the rest of you? I mean, Jesus, if you want to tell Jim Rice, no, we teach it a certain way, then teach it that way. If it's all about line drives, they're not hitting line drives. They're not hitting anything. team hasn't hit a home run since Sunday. Let's go to Chad in Chelsea. Hi, Chad.
Christian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
I'm not going to call up and jump all over you, but every host on this show, can I ask you a question, Christian?
Sure.
Do you consider over a 3-year period to be a pretty good sample size of somebody as a manager? This
yes.
team has been irrelevant for Christian. They've been irrelevant for over 3 years. It's going on over 3 years now. The errors, the bad base running, the striking out, not being able to win at home against decent teams. He is not a good. When is it going to cut? I don't care how good he was in this documentary. Some of the hosts on this station, he was wonderful on the documentary. I don't care about the documentary. That this team under him has not been good for over 3 years. So I don't know what you're so shocked about. And all the other hosts on all the other shows on your station, everybody is so shocked. What are you shocked about? I know they spent a few dollars. They did. They went out and they made a few moves.
Mm-hmm.
But they still have him as their manager. It's been over 3 years now. We're going on 3.5 years of being irrelevant with the error, all of it. We're seeing it again. It's coming right back again this year.
It's true. But, Chad, what you just – and thanks for the call, but what you just said is why I'm surprised, is because those last couple of years, they didn't get an investment from the front office. They didn't spend money on the players. They didn't trade their prospects for a guy like Garrett Crochet. They didn't do any of that. So when they come out and have a disappointing season – with Alex Cora as the manager or Ron Renicki or whoever else is the manager, you don't really act all that surprised. You know, you sort of look at it and think, well, you know, they tried their best, but this team's just not investing. This front office, this ownership group is not investing. Now they have, and you're still seeing those problems. So maybe, hey, listen, maybe you were right all along, right? Maybe people like you who said that Cora, who won him a World Series in 2018 and got him to the ALCS in 2021, which you're right, is 3.5 years ago. But that's it still happened, right? I mean, it's not like it didn't. And I don't know. I mean, that's why I'm surprised. That's why I'm surprised. There was an actual investment made by the team this year, by the front office, by John Henry, all of them. They all decided this is the year that we're finally going to let Breslow or Blue or whoever our president, chief baseball officer, whoever it is, cook a little bit. And he did, and had a great offseason by every measurable, by every possible metric. It was a very good offseason. And they're off to this lousy start. That's why I'm surprised. That's why. I also don't think that, and I don't want to say this in too much of a diminishing way, but I don't think that managers have that much of a impact on the day-to-day stuff. But it's, you know, you're watching them now. It's the same problems. Caller's right. It's the same problems. Fielding, runners in scoring position, striking out, all that. I don't know how much of that goes on Cora, how much of it goes on the hitting coach, how much of it goes on all of these various hitting coaches that they have wandering around, shushing Jim Rice when players come to him for advice, and he's like, no, you know, that's don't tell him that. We'll tell him what to do. Not you, Jim Rice. What do you know about hitting the baseball, Jim Rice? Okay. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll keep the phone lines open here if you want to continue ranting and raving about the Red Sox. I know I do, so don't go anywhere. We got some open phone lines. Go ahead and grab one. We'll be right back after this.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes. which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, broadcasting from the pulpit of Sports Radio in Boston, it's Sunday Mass with Christian Arcan on WEEI.
Back here at Sunday Mass, Reverend Arcan, phone number 617-779-7937. Bad news there for Richard Fitz. Hopefully he's all right. MRI, you hate to hear that. You hate to hear those three letters when it comes to a guy getting pulled out of a game that he was pitching very well in. He was five innings, a two-hit shutout he was working on, five strikeouts, just one walk. He looked great. And he's looked very good in all of his starts, I think. He was good against Texas. Holds him to three runs through six innings with four strikeouts and no walks. Gave up a couple of dingers, but still I thought was good. They lose that game 3-2 against Toronto. Six innings, three runs on six hits with four walks and four strikeouts. Maybe a little more base runners than you want, but only three runs. They lose that game 6-2. And again, no earned runs yesterday. Bullpen comes in, blows it. He finishes with five innings, two hits, one walk, five strikeouts. He has not recorded a win yet as a Red Sox pitcher. This goes back to last year. That's rough. That's too bad. He's pitched too well for this. Even last year. Last year in September, in a loss to the White Sox, amazingly, he went 5 2/3 innings, two runs on six hits, both unearned. Five shutout innings against the Yankees on the 13th. Five more shutout innings against the Twins on the 20th. And then he gave up four runs and five innings and six hits against Toronto. An actual not great start. But the only one he gave up any earned runs in all last year. And he still has not recorded a win as a Boston Red Sox. If I'm Dick Fitz, I'm probably thinking, you know, I'm pitching okay here. I'm doing all right. And these guys will not score runs for me. They just won't. I hope he's all right. I hope whatever the MRI shows is nothing serious, and I hope he's back out there because, listen, they need him. They can't keep losing starters. And while Giolito is on his way back and Sandoval you'll be getting at some point, Brian Bayo, all those guys have started their rehab. Liam Hendricks started his rehab. That's all well and good, but I don't know for sure that they'll all be pitching as well as Fitz is right now. So hurry back, Rich. By the way, the lineup is out. And there is a change. I know a lot of people were calling for some change in the lineup. Someone should get benched. Someone should get dropped in the lineup. Well, you got your wish. Here's your lineup. Leading off, Jarren Duran. Batting second, Rafi Devers. So far, so good. Well, I don't know about so good, but so far it's the same. Batting third at third base is Alex Bregman. And your cleanup hitter today is Willier Abreu. Willier Abreu bumped up in the lineup. He will hit cleanup. Trevor Story batting fifth. Tristan Casas has been dropped down to the sixth slot, where he will bat and play first base. Then it's Campbell, Narvaez, Rafaela behind Garrett Crochet. I'm not shocked to see this on either side. Willier Abreu, though he didn't have a great game yesterday, has been their best hitter so far. So he deserves a promotion in the lineup, sure. Tristan Casas has been brutal. And dropping him down makes sense, too. I can't believe it's come to this 16 games into the year. I really can't. I thought the top of the lineup through 1 through 6, maybe. You want to tell me 7, 8, 9 was going to be giving you some problems and that you weren't really sure what you had there? Okay, I'd buy that. The catching situation, you know, especially with Wong injured, sure, fine. You don't know what you're getting there. Rafaela, he's a pretty streaky hitter. If he's in one of his downswings, then yeah, you got to just ride that out. Christian Campbell, who knows what he's going to be coming into the season. I know that the team was very excited for him and he had a great start, but since then he's cooled off a lot and who knows what he is right now. But 1 through 6 has been just as much of an adventure, if not more so, than the bottom 3. That's where Abreu was. That's where Campbell was. Those guys were carrying the team through those first two series against Texas and Baltimore. You weren't getting anything from Devers. You weren't getting anything from Bregman. Trevor Story. Duran started to pick up as the season went on. He wasn't in the lineup yesterday. Another guy who didn't, I don't think he didn't pinch hit, did he? You know? But Story, Casas, Bregman, not all the same, but it's been underwhelming so far. It's been an underwhelming start. And you're seeing now, I think, what may be the beginning of a few shakeups. I don't think it's going to be the only one. And I wonder how far they're willing to go. We're all aware that there's a couple of guys in the minor leagues that we're all itching to get a look at. And there's some players on this team who play positions that aren't really getting the job done so far. How much rope do you give certain guys when they really can't seem to get out of their own way? It's a good question. And you're starting to see some of that rope get pulled back here from Tristan Casas, who has now been dropped from cleanup now to the number 6 spot in the lineup. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. I will continue with your phone calls here. Wally is in Fall River. Hi, Wally.
Yeah, what's up, Christian?
What's up, Wally?
It's an intriguing situation. You remember what Jack Nicholson said in A Few Good Men? You can't handle the truth. Mm. I mean, I can't handle any of this, Christian. I mean, this, you know, the strikeouts, whatever. But these guys, these batters, haven't been facing top-notch pitching every night. They're not facing Koufax, Drysdale, or Bob Gibson.
No.
I mean, I don't know what the solution is. Our boy over at first base, whatever, I mean, he's got to produce. You can't have first baseman knocking in 10 runs for this, hitting home runs 10 or 11 for the season. But the middle of the order hasn't really produced. There's no power. The pitch has been fairly decent, but I don't know how they're going to solve this. It seems all these guys walk to the plate, take their three swings, and run back to the dugout. But they definitely have some problems. If they don't wake out of this soon, come out of this coma, so there's going to be major problems.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that, Wally. Thanks for the call. They can't keep doing that. I mean, this isn't sustainable. Not after a big offseason where they spent a lot of money, not in Boston. No, no, no. This wouldn't have been acceptable even in a season like the last couple where they didn't really do much in the offseason, where their big signing was Giolito or James Paxton or whatever. You know, like that's even then, it's okay. It's still the Red Sox. You can't get off to a start like this. It's not like the payroll's zero. But in a season where you spent big money on Bregman, you spent big reliever money on Chapman at 37 years old, and you spent major prospect capital for Garrett Crochet, and signed Buehler too, by the way, then it's really not acceptable. I mean, it's really not. And it shouldn't be. And you're not losing to great pitchers. He's right about that, too. The Blue Jays have a pretty good staff. Berríos and Gausman and Bassett, like, those are three pretty good starters, but they're not, you know, they're not all time. They're not all going to be all-stars. They're pretty good. Your rotation's pretty good. I thought it was going to be a lot better than pretty good. But then you come to Chicago, you lose to Davis Martin and Martin Perez. Yikes. And not just lose, but get overwhelmed. Give away at bats. Strand runners, strike out, all that. And you don't do that early on in the season unless you're tight, unless you're gripping the bat a little hard. And this team is. And I hate to put it this way because I think it's great that they allowed a camera into the locker room last year and that they showed us this window into the lives of these ballplayers. And again, please don't misconstrue what I'm saying here as any sort of criticism about Duran and what he said. Okay, it's not about that. But you do see that these guys are all pretty neurotic. You know, they all wound a little tight. And when a slump happens like this, it just seems to compound itself, doesn't it? They're coming out there. That St. Louis series, they were free and easy. They were hitting everything. They were happy to be back. And since then, they have been very, very tight. And that's just a fact. I mean, I don't know how you can argue that. And I don't know how you get out of it. Maybe the weather needs to heat up. I don't know. I'm sick and tired of hearing about the freaking weather. That didn't stop George Springer from hitting the million Springer dingers there, did it? Did it stop Chicago from scoring 11 flipping runs? I mean, Jesus, it's not, you know, that's ridiculous, the weather. I refuse to even entertain that as a legitimate criticism. And by the way, you're going to Tampa in a day, so it should be pretty good weather down there. If it keeps up down there, then what are you going to say? 617-779-7937. Let's go, Rick in Salem. You're up next.
Christian, what's up, man?
Hi, Rick.
Hey, this is basically, Christian, you guys touched on a lot of stuff I wanted to get to, but this is a continuation. This is the same team from last year. Hmm. They're doing the same exact... Things aren't going to change until they make some changes in that lineup, and maybe even in the dugout. Christian, go back to last season. Of that minute hitting with runners in scoring position, striking out as a team. Nothing's changed, brother. The errors and everything. What you see is what you get. It's not going to change. This team's not that good. I love Crochet, Buell, Hauk, the starting pitching looks good. I'm going to give you something from last night. They're struggling to score runs. Fitz leaves with the injury with a 5-0, with a 2-0 lead. Of all people, you're going to bring in Zach Kelly? That guy should have been on this team. Go back to him last year. He's brutal. If anything, Whitlock should have come in and cleaned that game last night. Then went to Slayton. They got two innings out of Kelly. They could have got two innings out of Whitlock because they hardly even been using him. Corbin's not good at handling pitching. He's not that good of a manager. I'm sorry. I agree with the guy a few callers back. Get this guy out of here. Jason Veritek should be running this team.
Thanks for the call, Rick. This is not, I'm not surprised to hear this. I'm not there with Corey yet. I don't know if I will be this year. I don't think it's realistic to see him get fired this early on in the extension. But again, you know, the desperate times sometimes, you know, look at the Denver Nuggets and the Memphis Grizzlies. Sometimes weird things happen with these coaches and these managers. I don't want Corey to get fired. I don't necessarily think this is all his fault, but you do have to start examining how these things keep happening. You do have to start examining how, despite considerable upgrades, you're still seeing a lot of the same problems. What's constant? What's the thing that the common thread? You know, this is the way. It's not just me saying this is the way people are going to look at it, and this is the way upper management is likely to look at it eventually. Well, we did everything you wanted, and you still can't make it work. Well, all right, now who do we look at? 617-779-7. So hang on the line. We'll continue with our Red Sox discussion. We'll take a preview of Garrett Crochet and what to expect from him today. And we'll continue again on the phones at 617-779-7937. It's the Reverend Arcan Sunday Mass, second hour coming up.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.